The first Testament lesson today is from Genesis 39, verses 19 through 23. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, please go to the Old Testament, page 36. Please listen for the word of the Lord. When his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, saying, "This is the way your servant treated me," he became enraged. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He remained there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This week we conclude our series on Matthew 25, and our focus this week is on visiting the prisoner. By now, this scripture should be fairly familiar to all of us, and yet we hear it again this morning. And so today I invite you to close your eyes and just listen as I read it and hear God speaking to you. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. These words are Jesus' last discourse before the final days of his earthly life. And in today's scripture, the image of Jesus shifts from shepherd to king. And we are reminded that no power can match the power of the reigning Lord. We're also reminded that loving God and loving others as oneself is set forth as the linchpin for life in God. I think we'll all agree that Joseph, in our reading from Genesis that Heidi did, Joseph is a good man. And while God's sovereignty and God's keeping God's promises are key points in Joseph's story, we can imagine ourselves visiting Joseph in prison, because Joseph is a good man and a sympathetic character. And as our scripture from Matthew talks about giving food to the hungry, giving something to drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, giving clothing to the naked, and taking care of the sick, we can pretty well wrap our heads around that, at least from a distance. But what about the person who is hungry because they spent all their food money on booze? What about the person who is naked because they gambled away their clothes? What about the person who is a stranger because they were kicked out of their own home and they're living on the streets? What about the person who is sick from using dirty needles? It becomes a little more challenging. And what about the person who is in prison? Often when we think of prisoners in the Bible, we are sympathetic towards them. We think of Joseph, Samson, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Peter, Paul. We think of those who were imprisoned for their boldness of faith and speaking truth to power. But today in the United States, that is not why people are in prison. People are in prison for committing crimes, and most of them are guilty. Some of the crimes are rather petty by comparison, but some are really ugly. Some of the prisoners are rather sympathetic, and some are not very nice people. If the United States prison population were a city, it would be the fifth largest city in our country today. Think about that. But rarely, if ever, do we think about prisons or prisoners unless we happen to know someone who is incarcerated. Yet despite prisoners being shut away from the world, God does not want those in prison to be forgotten. God forgets no one. And so we are to forget no one. We are all God's children, and God loves all God's children. Today, I want to push us, because to be honest, I need to push myself. Those in prison are part of the needy. 43 years ago, my life changed dramatically. One evening, I had a seven-hour conversation with a man I knew slightly but liked, and to be honest, it was a first date. And it left me feeling a little uneasy about his current mental state. The next day, he committed a serious crime, called the police to report himself, and has been incarcerated ever since. For 43 years. Obviously, I became a key witness in his trial. I was only 23 at the time, and I was not prepared for how this shook my world. When I went to check on him, I learned that not one person had reached out to him. Not one friend, not one member of his family. And so I made a promise that this man would not be forgotten. And I will tell you, it was the first time in my life that I actually heard a call from God. I visited him every week in jail for a year until he was sent to prison. And then I visited him regularly and visited as often as I was able. It's hard to do. He's moved around the state a bit, and where he is now, the only day you can visit is Sunday. I learned that we are all fragile, that we all have a breaking point, that some people have absolutely no one to offer them a bit of compassion. And I was reminded again that we are indeed all God's children. As the years go by, my friend shared with me my meeting my husband, having a family, going to seminary, being called to this church. He knows of my passion for ministering with people with disabilities, and he sometimes sends me articles on the subject. And to this day, I remain his only link to the outside world. Today's scripture is a reminder to me that in the past few years, I have not been very faithful in keeping my promise. I don't write as often as I should, as often as I mean to. And I am the worse for it. I am the worse for it. Loving those who are undervalued is not only a key expression of our love for God, it is a vital demonstration of God's love for us. We cannot understand God's love for us if we don't continue to share it with others. And we do it with real life, this world deeds. And sometimes those deeds are as simple as writing a short note. Our daughter Katie is opposed to the death penalty. And so she went to Michigan Law School and now works as a federal attorney whose only clients are on death row. Her goal is to have the death penalty removed case by case. And let's be honest, she serves those whom society considers the least of the least. I have to say, I am very proud of the work she does, though I am not exactly thrilled with a lot of the circumstances. She is following her passion and her beliefs. I am even more proud that she sees beyond the crime committed and seeks to know the person that she is representing. While still in school, Katie did an internship in New Orleans and lived in Sister Helen Prejean's office. You may remember Sister Helen as the nun who was portrayed in the movie Dead Man Walking. One of my favorite quotes by Sister Helen is, "We are not the worst moments of our lives." That is how our daughter relates to her clients. And I believe that is exactly how Jesus is directing us to live and to reach out to others. We are not the worst moments of our lives. I said it here before, we are not commanded to like everybody. Our daughter Katie is opposed to the death penalty. And so she went to Michigan Law School and now works as a federal attorney whose only clients are on death row. Her goal is to have the death penalty removed case by case. And let's be honest, she serves those whom society considers the least of the least. I have to say, I am very proud of the work she does, though I am not exactly thrilled with a lot of the circumstances. She is following her passion and her beliefs. I am even more proud that she sees beyond the crime committed and seeks to know the person that she is representing. While still in school, Katie did an internship in New Orleans and lived in Sister Helen Prejean's office. You may remember Sister Helen as the nun who was portrayed in the movie Dead Man Walking. One of my favorite quotes by Sister Helen is, "We are not the worst moments of our lives." That is how our daughter relates to her clients, and I believe that is exactly how Jesus is directing us to live and to reach out to others. We are not the worst moments of our lives. I said it here before, we are not commanded to like everybody, but we are commanded to love everyone. Each and every one of us is a child of God, and we are called to see God in the other and let the other see God in us. That is what Matthew 25 is about. And this passage, it offers relief from the pressure of having to have all the answers before being able to act. When you serve the needy, you are doing it unto Christ. And the needy will see Christ in you. And that includes those in prison. Just ask Jesus. I invited Ross and Ann Stuntz to join us today for our little conversation. Ross has been visiting someone in prison for 12 years, and Ann has been joining him for the past 5. The reason they're not here is we had a confusion of dates, and this is actually one of their scheduled visits at the prison. So they are walking the walk, as we say, right now. So I ask them some questions, and I'm going to read their reply. Ross became active in Crossroads Bible study by mail as a lesson grader 13 years ago. He would grade the lessons and send back an encouraging note. About 12 years ago, he wanted to do something more personal and trained to visit a prisoner in a local prison every 2 weeks. There are many incarcerated individuals who want a friend, and this helps to overcome barriers of class and wealth and things like that, and bring about feelings of human commonality. Benefits are that the inmate has a regular visitor, and the visitor grows from the experience. It also allows for feelings of empathy to develop both ways, as well as with the guards and with other visitors. And I would add that it also helps to form relationships and links on the outside for those who are released from prison and feel lost. We can help by becoming everybody's church in a real sense. You can support nonprofits that help prisoners re-enter the outside world or by visiting prisoners. You can become a mentor by exchanging letters or by grading Bible school study lessons. Ross and Ann give 2 websites. One of them is in your bulletin, prisonfellowship.org, but you can also go to crossroad.org if you are interested in learning more about any of these activities. You can also speak with Ross or Ann. They would be thrilled to talk with you. Reaching out to the other, reaching out to the needy, is always reaching out to Christ. Let us pray. Compassionate God of us all, may we not only hear your call on our lives, but may we respond to it. Help us to see your Son in each of your children, and help each of your children see your Son in us. Amen.